listening to the Ice Prep Podcast. Here's your hosts, Brian and Pat.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ice Prep Podcast, where in, an hour and a half, 2 hours from now, we could know the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, that's nuts. I didn't expect that at all.
I don't think anybody did. Like, there's also a chance in the next 2 hours that we know the NBA Finals as well. Because for a while there, everybody thought we were going to get the double sweeps, which would be something we would never see again. And
yeah. No, and I mean, at least on the NBA side, you know. Hey, at least Denver made it to the finals there. So, no, actually, I'm really excited to see them there. They should have been there the past few years. Jamal Murray coming back and showing that his name should be in contention for one of the better players in the league. And Joker just doing Joker things. It's been fun. It's been fun. I've actually been watching more of that than I have the NHL series because I'm a little more invested in the Nuggets than I am with the Florida Panthers. Sorry, Florida fans. I don't care.
And that's completely fair. I've watched, this is the least amount of conference final hockey I think I've watched in a long time. And looking at, well, mind you, I fell asleep during the second overtime, the first overtime, and then woke up during the fourth overtime and then went back to sleep. So that was game one, and it was like, okay. But when you look at the stats of it all, it's been a crazy, both sets of series have been crazy. Like, the games could have gone either way in any of them, but Florida moves on, they get the sweep. The question becomes, will it be Bobrovsky or Tkachuk if the Panthers win the cup for the Conn Smythe? And you can already also make the argument if whoever comes from the West wins and Bobrovsky still puts up a hell of a performance, he could J.S. Jaguar the Conn Smythe. He is playing that good.
So what you mean is win it even though they lose?
Yes.
Okay.
That's J.S. Jaguar.
That's not a well-known phrase, Brian.
Okay, fair. Older hockey fans might know it because it's a very famous...
Jaguaring it.
It's a very famous photo of him just basically like trying to wipe away the tears and then he's getting handed this trophy that he doesn't want.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, that's like... I feel like there should be certain times. Well, yeah, he might have been the best player. Don't do that to him. Like, do the celebration behind the scenes or something.
But you know, it's unfortunate tradition. But even still, like, if he's the most deserved player, I mean, he can at least slightly hang his hat on that and be like, "See, this is why you're paying me $10 million." Ooh, that's too much money for a goaltender. Argument, like, people can try and argue that all they want, but there have been plenty of other goaltenders that don't make $10 million that have won the cup. He is putting on a hell of a performance. He didn't last year. So, it's just showing that goalies are voodoo and you shouldn't invest $10 million in them. Because if he was on any other team, he'd be doing the same dance right now. If they made it into the playoffs, he'd be just as good, probably.
Yeah, when Bobrovsky is on, he is in a class that there's like three or four goalies in the NHL of. I would include Price in that, but he's essentially retired at this point. So you have Bobrovsky's in that class. Hellebuck is in that class. Yeah. And
Vasilevsky.
Those are the only three. Because there's that's like if they're on, they are the best.
And there's two that still uncertain for me, because they've shown sometimes yes, but other times, holy crap, no. But it's been such a small sample size. And that's Jacob Markstrom. I know, feel free to roll your eyes, but he showed a couple years in a row that he is top tier. But then when he stumbles hard. And the other one is Thatcher Demko. And
well, again, I thought you were going to say Igor Shesterkin.
No. He is propped up by really good defense. I see that as a Colorado fan. That is any goaltender that plays for Colorado. This is propped up on defensive skills. Look at how many times have Colorado goalies just suddenly been in Vezina conversations. Like, come on. It's because was Kemper part of the conversations this year? No. Was Grubauer? No. Like, was,
mind you, Grubauer Varlamov played pretty well in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not discounting their talent, but also it could have been that the defensive team, like the formation in front of them, were like, well, this goalie needs really solid defense to be able to perform at the tier that we want him to. So, you know, it's a propped up situation versus actual quality defensive situation. And, or sorry, my brain just fully stopped there for a second. I completely disappeared. No, it's, you've got goaltenders that are playing out of their mind good, and it doesn't matter what's happening on the ice, but then you have other goaltenders that rely heavily on the defensive team to shut down any of the high danger chances. So Bobrovsky at first was kind of suffering from that, or was benefiting from the shutdown of high danger chances. You could definitely see a lot of that in the Boston series. There was a couple breakaways, a couple two-on-ones that he had to really stand on his head. But other than that, every shot was like clear. You could see it. Low traffic. Like, they did a good job. Then it got more on him just
playing
right.
And then it was almost like the Leaf series was a warm-up for him to just get to Carolina. Because my big thing, I said it, and I'll admit, I was completely wrong. Because I said Carolina was going to take that series in 4 or 5 games. Because they play from the point, they shoot the puck in, and they get rebounds. What did Bobrovsky dominate on? He wasn't giving up rebounds, and if he was, they were going to places that Carolina couldn't do anything with. So he, he realized, okay, this is how Carolina plays. You have to adjust your style slightly, and he did. And like every single game, he was the best player on the ice at any time, and not discounting Matthew Tkachuk, who had 3 game-winning goals. And then assist on the other game-winning goal.
That's nuts.
Like, unbelievable. And we know it as London Knights fans that's what he's like in big game situations. He comes up and he scores goals. He scored the Memorial Cup overtime game-winning goal from Mitch Marner. Like,
you know, he's the assistant captain.
Yeah,
Clutch, I guess, or alternate captain Clutch. That's his new title, because you know.
And I sent it to you earlier, and I couldn't find it to bring it up. But if I remember correctly, just in this one playoff, like time with the Panthers, he is tied for 3rd all time in Panthers playoff points. Already, that is ridiculous. Like. Somebody,
especially since there haven't been a lot of high scoring games in the past series.
And somebody somebody brought up first season with a new team, regular season plus playoff points. He's behind it's Gretzky twice and somebody else. Like, he's on an absolute ridiculous heater. And the only player left in the playoffs that is anywhere close to him right now is Jack Eichel.
Yeah, Eichel's playing really well. And, you know, he may never lose a playoff round. So good for him. He might end up being 4-0.
It's so crazy to think that he has never been in the playoffs before this year. Like, that is such an unbelievable thing for a player of his. And we're starting to see that his style of play, like, he's a very good regular season player.
Yep.
He is a phenomenal playoff player, and thank goodness for the Golden Knights that Mark Stone is still able to play after last game. Dallas Stars captain, less than 2 minutes into the game, Jamie Benn gets himself 5 in a game, 2-game suspension for what has to be one of the dumbest cross checks he has done since he put Larkin in a neck brace.
Hey, come on, man. He fell, and it was unfortunate that Mark Stone's head was right where his cross-checking stick ended up being on the ice.
So for those that missed it, that's remorse. That was literally paraphrasing the quote that he said the next day, because he walked out of the arena, got into his car, and drove off, didn't talk to the media. So it was
Captain
not
stuff right there.
Yeah, that I'm very curious how that one is going to play out in the off season, because there's a big part of me that wonders between, is it James? No, last name Neil. I can't remember his first name. The GM there, and Peter DeBoer is the coach. That's going to be like, we can't be having this. When you have guys like Pavelski there who are, they're the definition of leadership.
Yeah. Well, like, or even just like Jason Robertson.
Give the seat to Robertson. Have it be the next generation. Pavelski
won't be there for long. Or Miro Heiskanen. You know, he's a major piece on that team. Like, wouldn't give it to Sagan.
Though it's very rare to see defensemen get the C nowadays. That's the only reason why I would put Robertson over Heiskanen. Or unsung hero Roope Hintz.
Oh, true. But I think when it comes to leadership and long term, because it'd be nice, it'd be ceremonial to give it to Pavelski. Like, it would be simply like, hey, this is your last year if he comes back and plays one more year.
But he has been a captain before. He was traded when he was the captain of the Sharks.
Yep.
And I did want to bring this up here just because I mentioned him. Look who's finally. There's two players that have finally got past Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Evan Bouchard. That's crazy.
You can't outscore your problems.
Yeah. Roope Hintz. Not in
the playoffs.
Roope Hintz is now the points leader in the playoffs with 22. Matthew Tkachuk at 21. And then Jack Eichel, Mark Stone down on the list, Jason Robertson, and Carter Verhaeghe rounding up that list. And I don't know if anybody is going to get ahead of Draisaitl's 13, by the way. Roope Hintz needs to get a hat trick tonight and hope that his team continues on. Tkachuk would need 5 goals. He could do it. But nobody else on that list. Yeah. And then it makes me laugh that Evan Bouchard, because of the power play, is still top for assists. Roope Hintz and then Tkachuk taking 2 and 3 there.
I will say the other thing to keep in mind is if I'm not mistaken, Roope Hintz was also injured for, I think it was 2 games. So I don't think he was played the entirety of the
16 maybe games. Not. I don't know if that's every game so far. Let's check. We know that, who do we have? Jason Robertson. We're doing this on the fly. 16 games.
Oh, no, I was wrong. Was Heiskanen.
Heiskanen was injured. It could have been Honka, but...
No, Honka's not on the team anymore. I remember that there was somebody that came back, and it was an immediate impact, but I can't
Pavelski, who scored 4 goals in the 1 game? Maybe?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't know.
While we're at it, want to look at goalies. I saw this and it made me smile a little bit. Akira Schmid still sitting at the top of the list with 2 shutouts. Aiden Hill obviously got his first. I was listening because I had to go fill up our jerry can for the for our lawnmower before we were doing this. And I believe that the Golden Knights, they've already had like 9 or 10 shutouts in playoff history already. That's unreal.
Flower
was good at that.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I want to point out is where did Aiden Hill, before he was traded from San Jose, where he was quickly dumped, but where did he start, or maybe not start, but play many years and become sought after? Who might have done that? Oh, I don't know. Was it the Arizona Coyotes goaltending coach before he moved away to Ottawa? But it turns out that it was New Jersey goaltender that played a whopping like 2 games. Corey Schwab seems to be the true hero of goaltending coaching, because he has been a coach for Tampa, San Jose, and for Arizona Coyotes, and he has been pumping out nothing but cup winners.
I know you wanted to look into that.
I did a brief look, but dive deep
into it. Aiden Hill now has the save percent lead, Bobrovsky not far behind. And of the rest of that,
Bobrovsky has more games under his belt though in comparison to Aiden Hill.
And then poor Freddie, best goals against average. Doesn't matter if your team gets swept. Aiden Hill takes number 2, Bobrovsky there. So if it ends up like here is how bad it has been because of the Seattle series and the Vegas series. The goalie that everybody thought was the best coming into these playoffs, he's nowhere to be seen on any of these lists. And he's not getting a shutout tonight because the game's tied 1-1. Jake Oettinger, is the argument to be made for him that he has to be hard limited on the amount of games he plays? He's like, is the kid just tired? Like, he might just straight up be tired.
This was his first season as the starter. He was injured. I know that for sure. He was injured throughout the season, so he did have a couple weeks off.
But didn't he still play like 50, 60 plus games?
He definitely, like, him and Wedgewood were not splitting starts. It was definitely, the workload was on that kid, and this is his first season doing that, and it's a lot of work. The one thing I do want to say, though, and I saw someone point this out, and it made me feel really good inside, and I hope it makes you feel good inside, too. Who would you rather draft from the 2016 NHL entry draft? Would you be like Vancouver and choose Olli Juolevi? Or would you be like Calgary and choose Matthew Tkachuk?
That has been all over the internet the last few days. It was like, sorry, Vancouver, you picked the wrong London Knight.
Like, or Edmonton, would you prefer Jesse Puljujärvi or Matthew Tkachuk? Columbus, even, would you prefer Pierre-Luc Dubois or Matthew Tkachuk? Patrick Laine or Matthew Tkachuk? I think all of these people made the worst choices. The only one that's like at the moment semi like either way is Austin Matthews at number one or Matthew Tkachuk. I think that I would have, knowing where they are right now, if you had the being able to look 7 years into the future and seeing where they are right now, I would probably be unsure if I would choose Matthews over Tkachuk at this point.
Right now, if you're an expansion team coming into the league and you're allowed to take a player, any player from any team from that draft as your leader, you're taking Matthew Tkachuk. You're looking at Matthews going, yeah, you might put up 60 goals. That guy, Matthew Tkachuk, does everything. And yeah. I think he was so overlooked because it was like, okay, he's just the bigger guy in junior. He can't do that at the NHL.
No.
Yeah, he does. And as much as every team in that draft is kicking themselves, there should be 30 other GMs and teams in this league pissed off that they didn't call Calgary being like, you know what? We will trade you some superstars that are a little bit older for Matthew Tkachuk. Every other team had that chance and that choice.
Mm-hmm.
So Florida is, they're doing something crazy down there. They, like, it could all obviously fall flat. I made the comparison that they are on the exact same trajectory. Obviously, they have a little bit better, like a smidge better of a team than the Habs during the one bubble season, because the Habs, what they do, came back from being down 3-1 in the first round to win that series. On their way to the cup final, they swept a team that it was very unexpected that they would sweep. And here they are in the finals. So is it going to be Florida loses in game 5 and that's how it ends? Or I can't look at Florida anymore and be like, you guys don't stand a chance. You don't deserve to be here. They've taken down the number one, the number two, and the number four team in the NHL. If Vegas makes it to the final, that's them against the number five seed. The only team that they wouldn't have knocked out from the top of the league is New Jersey.
Yep. Yeah, that's when you talk about going through the Giants. That's exactly what they did. They fought every single Giant on the way there. And, I mean, good for them. I mean, I still can't believe that we're going to be having a conversation next week about most likely, statistically, the matchup is going to be Florida versus Vegas. It just depends on how many games it takes Vegas to take out Dallas. And nothing against Dallas. Do I think they could do it? I mean, maybe.
Well, as it stands right now, giving the live update, Vegas has the lead once again against Dallas. So if Vegas wins tonight or they win the next game, so if they lose tonight, win the next game, then the Stanley Cup playoffs or the final will start next Wednesday. If it's game six or magically game seven, it starts on June 3rd. So there's a fairly good chance that we game one will be done of the Stanley Cup final out of the Western Conference, because obviously Florida is literally the 17th seed. So we will know the outcome of game number one, which will be very interesting to know. And one thing, I ended up watching the end of the game last night. Right away, the second I saw that the trophy was there, it was like, oh, Tkachuk's going to go touch it, obviously. And he was asked about it. He's like, we're not the type of team that's going to be superstitious. We earned that thing. We did it the hard way. And they did. It was great to watch. And I did love seeing Sasha Barkov grabbing the trophy, skating off the ice with it, and off they went. Like, that's how it should be. And as we talked about this last year, when the Avs won the Western Conference, right away, you and I were like, McKinnon's going to touch the cup. Crosby touched the cup. Of course he's going to touch the trophy. Of course he's going to touch it. So I'm glad that seems to be
gone. It's a trophy you just won.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think that's the dumbest thing. It was just probably some random reporter was like.
No, I can tell you exactly when it started. It was Eric Lindros. And you know what the best part is about this? He didn't touch it. They lost.
So why is it the touch?
Actually,
touch, then?
If I remember correctly, they got swept. So it was just like salt in the wound. So, yeah, but it just became this. It became this silly thing, and now it's become part of it. Whereas once upon a time, the playoff beard was like superstition. Now it's more tradition than superstition.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know. It's a very bizarre playoff. I just that's my response to everything with it. It's so weird.
Can I stick with Florida for a minute? Because I got a few other things, if that's all right.
Yeah, go for it. Let's do that.
Florida, I think I told you this. I can't remember. How many players on this Florida team were drafted by Florida?
I think you told me it was like two or three.
Three. Can you name, we'll say, at least one of the three?
Lindell or Lundell.
Yep.
Yeah. Wasn't Barkov, was it? No, it was Barkov.
Two.
Yeah. And then it's probably some scrub.
Nope. It's a very key player.
Oh, Ekblad.
You got it. Well done.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool to see. So if they end up playing Vegas, then that'll be like, hey, which team has more original players? Kind of close, actually. And then the other one that I didn't know this, the original founder for the Florida Panthers was the owner of Blockbuster. Hmm. When the team was originally being proposed, this is what he wanted to call the team. He literally wanted to call them the Blockbusters. For those watching, here's the one logo, the jersey, the other logo. That I'm glad they went with the Panthers, but could you imagine if there was a team called the Florida Blockbusters?
Oh, man. That's great.
I did not know that. I saw this and I was like, that is the coolest random fact about a team that I didn't know. That how didn't I know?
Oh, I love that. That's so fun. And then the Blockbuster colors, the yellow and the blue. Obviously, it's the yellow and the blue. Oh, that's great. What a great and stupid piece of trivia.
Right. Now, I can guarantee you, now that you've heard this, it's going to come up in the next little bit, and you're going to be like, actually, I did know that.
Well, yeah, I'm very good with retaining useless knowledge. That is my skill set.
And you were talking about playoffs being weird. So this was taken when Boston was up 3-1 in their series. Florida had a 7.2% chance to make it out of that series. They did that. Like, you go down the line of when this took place. Is it Vegas that has the best odds? I guess no, Dallas Vegas. At 5.4. So one of...
Wait, no. Edmonton. It's Edmonton.
No, the lowest odds to win the cup. So Edmonton had a 19.3% chance to win the cup going into the playoffs.
It's
sorry, I had to cough. Yeah, so of the three teams remaining, Dallas had the highest odds at 5.4. So it is completely flipped of what analytics said. And everybody's looking at this playoff going, analytics don't matter anymore. Not with the way that these teams are playing.
Or it's maybe these models. It's not that they don't matter. It's just the models are based off of something. And it needs to be factored in. There needs to be a different data set that's brought in. And I think there has to be a different analysis of goaltending's effect on games. I sincerely believe that there needs to be I don't know what those are based off of. So this is all just coming out of naivety of just like, if I was going to be building one of those, you know, deserve to win-o-meter sort of things. Yeah, like the high danger shots versus low danger shots, the rebound totals, the blocked shots, like those must have to start taking more precedence because it's clear that there's some kind of metric that's missing in these models that is crucial to determining playoff success in comparison to regular season success. So what is it? Or what is the thing that changes from regular season to playoffs? And if you look at the amount of block shots, it goes up. If you look at the amount of hits, it goes up.
Maybe that
has an impact.
Can I bring something up about the deserve to win-o-meter that a lot of people get very wrong? Yeah. What a lot of people don't realize, if you see the deserve to win-o-meter, it's always like, oh, the team had an 85% chance to win and they didn't. That's not an 85% chance. That is of 1,000 simulations of this game happening with all of the stats, like the goals, the expected goals for, the expected goals against, all of that, not accounting for the actual goals that took place during the game. It's that percent is the number of wins. So 83% would be, about 830 times out of 1,000, they win. That still means 170 times they lost. It is not that far-fetched, and a lot of people look at it. They're like, well, it's like, no, it's based off of a ridiculous amount of times that a simulation happens because of just the expected stats from the game. So there's a lot of people, just you'd see it online, and it was like you clearly don't understand that it's not like based off of just the one game. Well, they take out the goals and they just go, here's the stats, run it 1,000 times.
Yeah, and it's clear that they just didn't watch Deadliest Warrior on Spike TV, where they would test weapons and then do which would win. And boy, the amount of arguments that I would get into with my friends, where I'd be like, you guys are wrong, and that data model is wrong.
Okay. Wow, that was a blast from the past, and it is the most accurate early 2010s example you could possibly pick.
Yeah, because they would run a simulation based off of the damage and the impact and which weapon was more dangerous out of a knight versus a samurai or a ninja, and they would just do the comparison of the two and then run the simulation. It would say, 250 times the ninja would win and the knight would win 750 times, because of course he did.
But at the end of the day, simulations don't matter because it's a one game. So, the deserve to win-o-meter is great, but
it's fun.
It's a fun thing to see. But at the end of the day, if you are basing your team's success or failure on that, I'm sorry, you're a dumb fan.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun thing, and it's based off of historical data, not about predictive It's predictive data based off of historical stats, which is important and really, really necessary, and like what generally just drives machine learning and AI. But at the end of the day, there are going to be gaps within it. And especially when it's the user, like it is a person. It is MoneyPuck putting money in, or putting data sets and pulling stats themselves and putting it into this machine that outputs that number. They might be missing a crucial stat, or one of the stats might be overinflated because of X, Y, and Z. There's so many variables to it. So that's why it's good to see, because it's like, this is a good idea of what should have happened. All right, when you watch the game, usually it does look like the other team that dominates the game deserves to win the game.
And sometimes it's like, they deserve to win that game. But sometimes the puck doesn't bounce your way. Sometimes you get goalied. Sometimes the other team plays like the Florida Panthers, and they don't care if you have the puck because they're going to steal it and score, which is a great thing for the deserve to win-o-meter to be like, you had 80% possession. You should win this game. And Florida's like, bet.
Yeah, we'll take four shots and score three goals. To your 14 shots and one goal.
Like, I am fairly certain that Florida was like the lowest shot in every single game against Carolina. They might have been the lowest shot count in every game against the Leafs as well. Like
they play a very lean game. They play when they get chances, they take advantage of them and they hurt you. And that's it. Whereas other teams, they get the puck and they dump it in. They use it as a time for a line change. Florida pushes themselves every single time. You watch when they strip a puck, they don't care how gassed they are. They're going for it.
Carolina outshot Florida by 15 shots.
Ah, there you go.
Now, if I could easily go back to the other games on this, that would make my life a lot easier. But yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I'm fairly certain that of their last 9 games, they've been outshot in at least 8 of 9, but it doesn't matter. They don't, that's their style of hockey is like, you take the puck because we're going to take it and go the other way.
Yeah.
You give us any chance to score, we're going to score. And on the deserve to win-o-meter, that shows up as a negative.
Yeah, it really does. And then I guess there's another series going on, which is Vegas and Dallas, because we've talked very little about them. That's just, I don't know. That's just sloppy play by Dallas. They don't deserve. They don't deserve to win a meter. But yeah, right.
I had to point the correct way, which is towards my fireplace.
Oh, right. Because it's mirrored. But yeah, it's just like Vegas has just played a good game. I know that obviously there's a lot of heat against them right now with everything that happened in the series against Edmonton. And I understand, yes, absolutely, there is just cause for that. But Vegas is the better team out of this matchup. I thought Dallas was hands down the better team. As soon as the first period ended, I was like, oh, no, I'm wrong. I'm very, very, very wrong. Vegas is... they are solid. They are crafted well. Eichel slots in perfectly. If you shut him down, then you've got weapons that, like, you've got William Karlsson, who was a 40-goal scorer on the inaugural season of the Vegas Golden Knights. You got Jonathan Marchessault, who is their current points leader, and he's not even in their top friggin' line. Like, it's just, like, when I say top points leader, it's like franchise leader.
Yeah,
he is a franchise leader at this point in time. I have a feeling Eichel's going to take that. And Vegas, whoever they have for their goalie coaching is doing very, very well, because they've had to do the rotating door of goalies this season again. It's been a while since we've seen a team have this many goaltender problems, but they did the smart move. They picked up Aiden Hill for like a fourth, I think.
I can't remember, but that is looking like brilliant. One of the smartest plays.
Yep. So, you know, Brassoit, he goes down, he's hurt. Leonard, he's out for the entire season. Thompson, he gets hurt as well, and pretty much his entire season is done. So they're on their third string goaltender, technically fourth if you count Leonard. And he's showing that he is going to earn himself a pretty good contract the next time that he needs to resign, which I think might be next year. So just very smart moves from the GM to finally craft this team to keep it healthy enough, goaltending aside, to be able to get this far. So kudos to them, and for to really show that, like, when it comes to the desert, they are the knights, I suppose. They are the kings of it all. You know, because you got Texas and Arizona and you got Vegas, so there you go.
By the way, I went back and looked. I am so close to being right, because in one of the games against the Leafs, the shots were tied 25-25. Other than that, yeah, they only had one game where they had more. Even in the game where there was 125 shots, they were still outshot.
Right.
So their style, they don't care. Nope. It's so crazy to look back, and even like just looking through at simple stats, they are destroyed in the faceoff dot. They don't care. Like that to me is one of the scariest things. It's just like, you may have all of these plays drawn up. That's why, like, Vegas might be the only team in the NHL that stands a chance against them, because they play such a similar style.
Yeah. No, it's going to be something. I don't know. When it comes to the Stanley Cup Finals, with it being, oh, Dallas just scored, but even still, Vegas versus Florida, I've coin flip. At this point, don't look at anything. Don't just coin flip. You know, heads is the Knights, tails is, well,
that makes sense.
Yeah,
Panthers,
the Panthers, and just that's your choice, you know.
And yeah, it's the more funny, the more I dig into the stats and the more we talk about this, the more a potential final of Florida Vegas sounds fun.
It'll be fun, but I know what's going to happen. It will be Florida that wins the cup, because when it comes to back checking, Vegas isn't great for that. So, yeah, they've got a lot of big defensemen, and they make one mistake, and we, you know, how Florida takes advantage of those. They don't have people that can come back and rush back, get the puck, turn it around, and go.
Vegas hasn't played a team that plays as heavy as Florida does either. What I said this in round one, like, my big thing was, if, like, Boston, the one team, Florida is probably the only team that can beat them, because they play dirtier and they play heavier. They turned that series around. Going into the Toronto series, we were both like, Toronto should win this, but if Florida can get under their skin and lay the hits and make the Leafs players start to catch themselves, and how many times do we see highlights of Sam Bennett going in, fakes the hit, goes around the player, puck goes out front. He did the exact same, like, the team did the exact same thing. Vegas, we've seen, when they get frustrated, when they get hit, they take real dumb penalties and they get suspended. Yep. Florida will be like, bring it on. So yeah. I'm in agreement with you. I never thought I would say this. I think the Panthers are a lock for the cup.
Yeah. And I mean, by us saying this, we've somehow jinxed it. I don't know. Like I've said, it is a full-blown coin flip. If I had a coin in here, I would flip a coin right now, and that would be my friggin' pick for this.
I can. The only thing I can flip is my phone or a RAM stick.
Oh, well, no. How about this? Here's an easier way to do it. I'm going to ask my phone to do it for me. So this is riveting podcast moments for everybody that's listening. So I'm going to now shout at my phone, flip a coin. Now remember, Golden Knights are heads, Panthers are tails. And it has come up saying heads. So apparently my pick is Golden Knights to win. So neat. That's what I'm going with. 100%.
And you know what? That actually makes sense that they're that one as well, because their logo is a helmet, so a head.
Perfect. There you go. All we had to do
at the start of the playoffs was look at a coin and be like, okay, heads, so it has to be either LA or Vegas, and tails means it has to be Florida or no one. Why do we?
I mean, I got to tell you, Edmonton, like people that work on oil rigs are notoriously headless. So, what the oilers, people that work on oil rigs
are headless.
Yeah, because you said that the only two teams that had heads were Kings and Knights. There's Panthers have heads.
I meant they more are the not logo. Headless.
Oh, well, the Kings don't have a head in their logo.
It's a crown. Where does a crown go?
That's a literal helmet. The Vegas Golden Knights is a literal helmet. A crown can go on. I don't know.
Suddenly, Pat's I'm like, tired. Oh, your logic makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no.
On that Any note. Noodles. Yeah, on that note, I've got nothing else. I'm hoping that it is. I didn't think I would. There's another part of me. I said this last year, and I've said this year. I didn't want a team to win the cup who has won it in the last 10 years. And immediately I apologize. It's like, sorry, Colorado, I don't want to see your team do that. So the fact that there's the chance that it's two teams who have never won, I like that. If Dallas does somehow do the impossible, I hope that it's game seven. They score the game-winning goal, and it gets called back for goaltender interference because a player's skate is in the blue and they touch the goalie. And it's justice for Buffalo Sabres fans everywhere.
No, no. I want it to be, you know what I want? I want that exact same situation, but there is evident, clear and evident goaltender interference, but it doesn't get turned over. Because then we get to experience three unique riots on one day.
Fair enough.
Right?
Pat decided to take Team Chaos and just become its new leader with that claim. So, I think that's it for this episode. We will talk again. We will either be after Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final, or it will be a day or two after. So it'll either be talking about Game 1 a little bit or looking ahead to the series. So looking forward to that one. Anything you want to add, Pat, before we sign off here?
Nothing really comes to mind. Screw you, Andrew Shaw. That was
terrible.
Just in general, I'm not gonna dive into it because screw him. You had all the opportunity in the world to do the right thing, and you decided to not only not do the right thing, you decided to dig a hole so deep that you've completely ruined your entire career, one can hope. But on top of that,
be good, be kind, be nice. Don't be Andrew Shaw.
Exactly. Don't be stupid like that. Come on now.
Stupid is putting it way too lightly, let's be honest.
Yeah, trust me, I'm not allowed to say what I want to say.
On that note, bye everybody.
Bye.